In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly King, Consoler, Spirit of Truth, you who are everywhere present and fill all things, treasury of all that is good, Master of life, come, dwell within us, cleanse us from all stain, and save our souls, O good one. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We're going to be looking now in this seventh talk and the eighth talk on the notion or the source of adversity. We began that last time by looking at the document on the church in the modern world and what the church faces in the modern world. I want today to look at it from another point of view, more philosophical. That's what we're going to be doing today. See, basically, the adversity, which is linked to the word adversary, is Satan. And this is a plan that's been going on since the 14th century, and centered for a long time on the question of knowledge, challenging who controls knowledge. That is, does reality control me, or do I control reality? And ever since, of course, the Kantian fear, nothing can control me. I've got to be controlling reality. Now that's the fruit of a long trajectory. And I want to look now mostly at the source of the adversarial situation in which we find ourselves. I think the best description is in Dostoevsky's book, his novel, The Brothers Karamazov, where Ivan, the older brother, is a cynic and more than that, a rebel. And Alyosha is his younger brother, who is a monk. And he's gone to visit his brother Ivan, who's in jail, for the murder of their father. And Ivan starts to tell him that he's going to write a poem. I don't know why he calls it a poem, but so, you know, that's fine. We can do with that. See? And the poem is this, the plot. It's 16th century Seville in Spain, and the Grand Inquisitor is a tall, ascetic Franciscan. And he's standing across the street from the cathedral in Seville. There's a funeral cortege coming out, and Jesus is there. And some recognize Jesus and beg him to raise the girl from life, from death, and he does. So the inquisitor says to his assistant, arrest that man. So he puts him in jail, and at midnight he goes down to talk to him. And I want to quote now from Dostoevsky. Late in the night, this is myself, not Dostoevsky. The Grand Inquisitor visits Jesus in his cell and begins to question him. Jesus remains silent. Jesus never says a word in this whole conversation, if you wish. So, humans do not want to be free, they want to be safe. It has taken us nearly 1,500 years to undo your mistake. You think they want to be free. You think you can win them over to love you and one another freely, but you can't. And so now I'm going to be quoting from Dostoevsky, these are the words he has in the mouth of the Grand Inquisitor. the terrible and wise spirit, the spirit of self-destruction and non-existence. The great spirit talked with you, and we are told in the books that he apparently, quote, tempted you. You could have changed those stones into bread, and men would have followed you and hung on to your every word, but you preferred to leave them free. We, on the other hand, know what they need. We have deceived them, and they willingly let themselves be deceived for the sake of the bread we give them. Now, you see what this is, a demonic understanding of martyrdom. We will sacrifice ourselves so that you don't have to deal with God. We'll make you happy. We'll make you well-fed. And we'll tell you whether there's a God or not. And we say there isn't. And so they're going to do this. Now the Grand Inquisitor again. They will marvel at us. And they will regard us as gods, because having become their masters, we consented to endure freedom and rule over them. We know what we're doing. See, we know there's freedom. But we have convinced them that there isn't, you see? And we rule over them. So dreadful will freedom become to them in the end. They'd rather be told what to do than be free. And as they're told what to do, they're being taken care of, see? But we shall tell them that we do your bidding and rule in your name. We shall deceive them again, for we shall not let you come near us again. That deception will be our suffering, for we shall be forced to lie. That was the meaning of the first question in the wilderness, and that was what you rejected in the name of freedom, which you put above everything else. That's the Grand Inquisitor, you know, saying the devil, which he calls here the terrible and wise spirit, the spirit of self-destruction, you see, came. The first temptation dealt with miracle, the second with mystery. This is how it goes on. And you could have thrown yourself off the parapet of the temple and forced the angels to catch you. Oh, this is the Inquisitor. Oh, you understood perfectly then that in taking one step, in making a move to cast yourself down, you would at once have tempted God and lost all your faith in him, and you would have been dashed to pieces against the earth. You came to save, and that wise spirit that tempted you would have rejoiced. You did not come down from the cross when they shouted to you, mocking and deriding you. They challenged you, but you still preferred a love that was free to an obedience coerced. And then it goes on again. We have corrected your great work and have based it on miracle, mystery, and authority. You see? And that's the last one. Why did you reject that last gift? By accepting the last counsel of the mighty spirit, you would have accomplished all that men seeks on earth. That is to say, whom to worship, the source of miracle, to whom to entrust one's conscience, the possessor of tyranny, and how at last to unite all in a common, harmonious, and incontestable anthill for the need of universal unity in the third and last torment of men, you see. We would have taken away these things. You could have done it, you see, but you didn't. It's taken us this long to undo your work. Now, if we give everybody what they need, they'll do whatever we tell them to. They've surrendered their freedom to us. And we tell them there's no God. We tell them that we will take care of them. They just pay their taxes, and we will take care of them. As it says later on, we will feed them on the food they give us. They give us the money, we make the food, and we give it to them. Or, that's in symbolic terms, we give them security. We give them everything. All they have to do is follow us. Now, this is Dostoevsky, a great intelligence and mystic, seeing the beginning of communism. That's what he's seeing. It hasn't happened yet, and it won't until 1917 in Russia. But he sees the issue. You cannot have communism if there's a God. Man has to rule. Now that is the adversary, my brothers. That is the adversary. Satan, the wise spirit of self-destruction, the Inquisitor calls him. And these are the three things that you were tempted with. You could have done, you wanted to feed the world, change all this to bread and feed it. They'll listen to you, they'll follow you. No. You thought men wanted to be free. They don't want to be free. They don't have the guts for it. They want to be safe. We'll take care of them. You see, we'll make our social security so great that you can just coast, but you have to do it under us. We will tell you. And so that's Russia. That's the other countries that began, and some who still practice, some form of radical socialism. The leaders, whether all or not, I don't know their conscience, know there is a God. But the knowledge of God and the pursuit of God will ruin everything, because it will give men the idea that they're free. They're not free according to this system, you see. Now, I'm trying to make this clear because that's the adversity. The memory of God is erased, except in certain devout people. But the nation, our nation as well, you know, is starting to get willing to trade everything for security. And so, to have a great number of people dependent on the government, you see, is the ideal. Then we can do what we want, and we are the saviors. That's the issue that we're faced with. And in the next section, I'm going to talk about what is required of us so that we can change that. This is the way de Lubac ends that. Well, I'm not sure whether it's de Lubac or me now, but either way. These, Dostoevsky, the mystical artist, already in 1880 could foresee coming in the Marxist regime. So we in church must look deeply into our hearts. Do we see these temptations all around us? Or do we understand, for instance, the tyranny of permissiveness? This is a very good phrase. It wasn't mine. Everybody disbelieves what's told because it's safe. We'll face God and be martyrs. You just do what we tell you. Can you see the incredible pride in that? That is at the root of the adversity. That's why there's so much done to maintain either an outright militant atheism, but at least, if not that, enough of a unconcern about God that they look to government for everything. And we become We government, if we're government, the government becomes the savior. Because the only thing we need salvation from is fear and hunger. And they can calm us, and so that we don't see that. That's the adversity at its root. And now we'll talk a bit about preaching in this.